From sail to steam, in your belly you can hold the treasures you have ever seen. Most of them dream, most of them dream. Yes, I am a pirate, 200 years too late.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending where you are. And thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Lisa Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. I'm so excited that you've tuned in and that you're listening. And I would love to have you interact with me today and chat. You have a lot of ways to do that. And by the way, you're tuning in with me, Dr. Lisa, just so you know. So how can you communicate with me? You can go to the 1-2 Radio site. I'm sure you know this. I'm sure you're an expert at it. But you can go to the 1-2 Radio site and click on the chat link just to the left. And after you click on the chat link, it will take you magically over to Facebook, where you can be put into our private Facebook chat site for 1-2 Radio. So that's one way to communicate. Also today, just so you know, I'll be taking calls in the second half of the show, and you can call us. You'll find the number on the 1-2 Radio site. You'll also, if you're on Facebook, you'll see it at the top of the link. And if you're on neither of those sites, second half of the show, I'll give you the number. You have also, if you just don't like any of this Facebook stuff, you can sign in to your 1-2 Listen account, and you can send me private messages through the Message Center, because I am multitasking and I have that open too. So I hope you're having a grand day. I am so happy because I am alive and well, and in Colorado, the sky is blue and we are moving into summer, and I just find today filled with great joyful energy. So I'm hoping that you do too. I want to talk a little bit about what the show is generally about. And I've really been thinking about, how do I create a radio show that is better for the listeners? And so that every time you listen, you leave with something to think about, something to maybe help you shift your energy one way or the other, something to help you feel like this was a worthwhile hour of your time. So to begin with, my tagline is inspiring a renaissance of spirit. And what that means is I want to help you feel inspired to make your life your personal art form, to embrace who you came here to be. Sometimes that means we have to deconstruct old patterns so we can reconstruct a life that is elegant, that you're fluid between all of the things that capture our attention, the yes, no's, the in, outs, the left, right, whatever that might be, that you're fluid between those. And the way we do that is, and what we're going to talk about today, is defying the gravitational pull of right, wrong, yes, no, should, shouldn't, all of those things. Meaning, today we're actually going to talk about happiness. I've been thinking a great deal about this topic recently and reading about it. And by the way, good morning, Greg and Cece and Jan and Eva, and thank you for checking in on Facebook. I just love the fact that you're there. Thank you. So why happiness is a topic? Well, in my day job, I'm very, very blessed to be a faculty at an institution. And what it means when you're a faculty, you spend a great deal of time reading, and my interests vary widely. And so it just seems like I follow where my heart takes me, where my brain takes me, and where a recommended book takes me. And so I read a great deal of neuroscience, and I read a great deal of what's trending out there. And there's a number of things trending, and what you'll find is there are bestsellers in the world of happiness. Which is kind of funny, right? How to be happy book. There's also bestsellers in how to find your passion and how to find your power and how to find your perfect job and exactly what are you supposed to be doing here on the planet and on and on and on. Instructions and guidance and ways to do this and ways. And none of them are wrong, and none of them are always right either. because so many times we publish what worked for us. Even in science journals, you have to remember, especially in psychology, it's tricky. Sometimes we only see the answers that we want to see in our research. It's very, very interesting. So what I'm hoping we can do over the next, I don't know how much time, several weeks, is have some ongoing conversations about how do we start to defy the gravitational pull of some of our personal issues. What are some tools and techniques? And where do we move? How do we find ourselves more fluid in a world and more able to feel happy? To wake up and feel, wow, I'm blessed. To wake up and acknowledge that I have a wonderful life. That's what I'm hoping we can do. And I'm hoping you're going to join me. And hi, Renee. I see you in the page there. And Queely and Greg, that's a great picture. But how do we get there? And it seems like so many of us are searching. I have to start with a number of stories. And I think I've said this before. One of the first stories that John told me when I had an early reading with me, and shout out to Mark and John always on this radio show. They're amazing. One of the first stories he told me was kind of a metaphor, actually, was that if I imagined myself living in some lovely little spot that I loved and I was completely content, which always means I'm imagining a beach house with access to the shore. And he said, so imagine you're there and one day you get bored and you go into town and they are having a revolution. And you're kind of bored and you like one side, so you join. John said to me, you know, that's fine. At least it's fine. Join the revolution. As long as you don't forget that at your core, you were already happy. That's all you have to do. This is more like entertainment. So, how do we get back to that? And there's so many ways. I know that the radio show before this talked about A Course in Miracles. I know that there's manifesting. I know that there's all these things that we can do. And I'm a psychologist. So let's look at it from sort of another point of view than an experience point of view. One of the things I want to start with today, and definitely please post questions in Facebook or send me questions via the message board. And the second part of the show, I'd love to take some phone calls. And so when we come back from break, we'll do that. One of the first things I have noticed is that it is so easy to be overwhelmed in this world. Just overwhelmed and overloaded. For example, Colorado is what I call a high stakes state. Now, I don't just mean high stakes testing for K-12, which I definitely have issues with, but I mean everything is pushed to a slightly higher level. For example, I ride a bike. It happens to be a mountain bike because I find it the most comfortable, but I am not a mountain biker. I like paved trails, and I don't mind dirt roads if they're kind of flattish. I am not that person who puts my bike on the chairlift at the ski area in the summer and then goes to the top and kicks butt all the way down. That's not me. I don't do it. It's terrifying. And I'm not judging it. It's just not what I do. But I get pressured to do that. People who meet me will say, wow, you're so adventurous. When are you going mountain biking? Come with our group. We have helmets and pads and blah, blah, blah. We'll teach you how. And I have no interest. I kayak. I started in rivers and in creeks, more creeks around Denver, and took lessons. And yes, it's fun and it's adventurous. And the problem is I have to go with other people and I have to wear a helmet, those two pieces. And I can't ever just pick up and go if I'm in the creek because it's dangerous. But I can always pick up and go and drop in the lake and have an hour of upper body and core exercise and peacefulness as I paddle around the lake. There's eagles. There's hysterical stories actually about getting almost on a collision course with geese. And I mean, really, it's fulfilling to me and it fills my heart and soul. But in a high stakes world, it's not enough. Push it more. Where I teach, I have students who come in and set a goal of a 4.0. I never had a 4.0 in my life. And I tell them that, and they stare at me and they say, you have a PhD. I'm like, yeah, I know those two things are not necessarily connected. Well, you're smart. Those two things are not necessarily connected. Smart and 4.0 is not necessarily connected. But that's the drive. And when you graduate high school, if you get a 4.0, you're probably not even getting into an elite school. And of course, everybody has to go to an elite school, right? Now you need a 5.2 on a 4.0 scale. Overload. Pushed. Maybe you don't feel like that, but if you do, put something in there. Do you feel occasionally just like you're always supposed to do more? You have to have a job that fulfills your passion, right? You got to find your meaning and purpose, what you came here to do, and do that for your avocation. You have to do it for your vocation. You have to do it for your career. You have to chomp at the bit on Monday to get to work and do more. We've also put a badge of honor on people who work longer hours, who are tired, who are exhausted by the weekend, who check their emails. We have put so much pressure on ourselves to do more, to be better, to live our passion, to have a deep spiritual life, to be, motherhood, in case you haven't noticed, is an entire other award-winning area where you have to do everything right. Everything right. And then, by the way, heal the planet, which is a great Jewish ethic, I have to admit. It's your tikkun, and we're going to talk about tikkun. But the reality is, I also get overwhelmed by that. I'm very worried about overfishing and the plastics in the ocean and the animals that die by plastics and the whales that die by plastics and the on and on. And the animals that are going to go extinct. I'm really, really worried. And I try to sign petitions. But it gets so exhausting that sometimes I feel like I just want to run away. So I'm wondering if any of you sometimes feel like that, like there's just so much I have to do. I have to do it all and I have to do it right. We've come into a time in our life where we've moved from conspicuous consumption, meaning let me buy big fancy things, right? Everybody needs to drive a fancy car, to inconspicuous consumption that is status, that then makes you feel somehow like you're being a better person on the planet. So what's inconspicuous consumption? And I'm not insulting any of these things, believe me, but feeling the pressure for the right yoga studio and the right yoga clothes and the best food that you bought and the best organic that you bought and on, the pressure of that. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. I'm saying the pressure to be that person. Right? And how difficult it is. Now, I do have a joke, and I know she said overachievers there. I have a joke that I'm actually used to be on my bulletin board at work when I had a bulletin board, and still somewhere, that said, you know, I am not an overachiever. The world is just full of jealous underachievers. And it used to be my joke because people would walk into my office and say, you're a workaholic, you're an overachiever. The reality is I am not. I am not. I just know that sometimes I'm enjoying something and I will go for it. And then when I'm emotionally done with it, physically done with it, mentally done with it, I move on. I just move on. But sometimes we get pushed. We get pushed to be more and to do better. So since this world is full of paradox, let me say that sometimes being pushed is good, right? Sometimes we have a kid who's tries it once and says, it was hard, I'm not going to do it again. And we want to say to them, well, try it 5 times. And after 5 times, if you don't like it, you can quit. Or here, I'll help you. Let me scaffold you up, right? Good psychology, and help you get over the really hard part and then see if you like it. Let's see that. And if you want to change, okay. but give this a try first. I grew up and wanted to play piano since the time I was 5. And when my parents finally, I don't even know how I knew what a piano was because there wasn't one in the house. And my mother said to me, well, make sure it's piano because you can never change and do a different instrument. And at the time, I had no idea what any of that meant. Actually, I was 5. And then maybe I was 6 when I finally started taking lessons. And then I was expected to play for everybody else. Again, I had to perform, as opposed to the kind of playing that I love, which is internal. And I took lessons and I did play in public some and realized I was good and realized that the part of playing the piano that I didn't like was playing for others. I just wanted to fill my soul with the experience. So sometimes we just want to own an experience. Sharing it with others may not be who we are. It may be about us. I'm hoping this is resonating, this sort of, here's the setup, right? Here's just the setup for what do I want to talk about? And yeah, Greg, jealous underachiever syndrome, which can be sort of sibling rivalry. When you suddenly realize that you're off having a great time and not your sibling, maybe your sibling, but people around you are jealous. So that's where I want to go today a little bit with is what do I mean by defying gravity? What do I mean by finding our own happiness? What are some entry points for that? So to begin with, when we talk about having a vocation, that's a Latin word that means calling, which I'm sure you know. And it isn't something that we choose necessarily, right? I don't go do a bunch of personality tests in the career center, though those can be helpful, and find out what I choose. It's what chooses me. And I have to say, it changes. And that's probably the big secret. You don't discover. I mean, I did. I adored the piano. And then I didn't for a while. And now I do. But I also do other things. I wanted to be a teacher when I was a kid. I ended up a geologist. Then I ended up a psychologist. I've talked about that Renaissance mind where we're still looking for other things. There are some people who find one thing and then that's it. They love it. But there are many of us who find that our life purpose changes, that what life chooses us to do, and life absolutely chooses us to do something that we can manifest that in so many different ways. And it may not be something huge and grand. It may be something small and vitally important. There's this award ceremony every year where I work. And it is for a award we give students at our college. I'm trying to be sort of like brief in what it is for great works they have done, right? It's an honor society. And sometimes I sit there and listen to what some of these students have done. And I, you know, it sounds something like they went to a country I've never heard of. And with their bare hands, they took down trees and built a school for orphans. And then while they were at it, they did some fundraising and came up with $5 million grant and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, well, I helped a student pass my class. Does that count? I drove a friend to a dental appointment because she was scared. Does that count? So sometimes we get swept up in helping the world and changing the world, and our vocation has to be big and glorious. When I believe the world functions and works on numerous, uncountable, small tasks, small things that happen that we do over and over again. So there's this Jewish story and there's a Buddhist story that's very much like it. And let me remind you again that we are spiritually multilingual on this phone. So just I have a headset on, so I'm thinking about my phone, on this radio show. So whatever I say, translate it into a language that works for you. So there's a Jewish story about a young rabbi who really wants to heal the world. And the word for that in Hebrew is tikkun. T-I-K-K-U-N, tikkun, that we come here to repair something. And she decided that she needed to repair the world, which is actually Jewishly what we're supposed to do. But she took it literally, and she was going to want to fix everything. And after a few months of trying to figure that out, she thought, okay, I should start maybe with my community. Instead of the planet, the world, the country, let me start with my community. And after a few months of that, she thought, well, maybe I'd be better off starting smaller. Because, you know, things ripple out. So how about if I start with my family? And eventually, and I'm sure you can see where this is going, she realized that she actually had to start with herself. That when I heal myself, when I live my tikkun, do my repair work of myself and what I can touch, it is rippling out. And that is how we change the world. There's a Buddhist story very, very much like it. There was a village in that was experiencing a great drought, and they called this woman rainmaker to come and maybe she was a Buddhist shaman, to stop the drought, bring the rain. And she showed up in the village and she asked for a house to sit and meditate in. And she went in and she meditated for 3 days. They didn't hear from her. They didn't see her. They had no idea what was going on. And then suddenly it started to rain. She came out and they said, what did you do? How did you make it happen? And she said, when I got to the village, I realized that the village was out of balance. It was out of alignment. It wasn't spiritually aligned. And then I realized the place and the people, I had to align them. And I realized because I was here that I was now out of balance. So I went into a meditation. And when I came back into balance, each of you came back into balance. And so did the village. And so did the planet. And it rained. So it is that kind of work where we get overwhelmed. We feel we have to go out and clean up all the plastic in the ocean. And yes, that's a great goal. And yes, I help with that the best I can, even though I live in Colorado. However, what do I do to keep myself happy now without being overwhelmed by that? I sincerely hope that wasn't like too confusing, that this is about bringing it back to not being overwhelmed and not being overloaded and realizing that we can do things to be happy ourselves. So instead of that sort of conspicuous volunteerism or that conspicuous production is sort of what I like to call it, right? Like make sure that I'm at work a lot and make sure everyone knows how much I donate, make sure that I'm on the volunteer team and make sure I go to Africa and save some people. I mean, and then I'm exhausted and I don't know if I've accomplished anything and I still don't feel happy. How do I get to my own self center and recognize that the things I do, right? Helping my neighbor get to the dentist, comforting a child because that child is scared, even though I don't know the kid. How do I know that those things are important in this life? So I've been thinking about that and thinking a lot about what it means to be summoned by life to do my thing, and that my thing isn't very big, right? I'm not summoned to Africa. I wish I was summoned to get on a Sea Shepherd boat, but I'm just not sure if I am at this point in my life, but maybe I will be. Am I summoned to help people feel better? I have to tell you that inspiring a Renaissance of Spirit feels to me like what I'm here to do. It feels like my calling to help people find themselves, that to know when people move into my circle, often their lives get better. And I don't know what I did. That just right there might be my calling and I may never really know what it is, but that's okay. That means that might be your calling. One of my friends who suffered some really difficult physical injuries and illnesses has realized that she's really good at prayer. And she prays for people because she can't do much else. But boy, if you need help and she prays for you, it's amazing what happens. She's great at comforting. So her life purpose is that. And she finds great joy in that. Okay, so how do I weave all that together? And that might be part two of today. How do we weave that together? How do we know? What do we do to make sure that we're happy? What do we do? Right? So there's a whole bunch of little things, a whole bunch of little things that we can do, and then there's a whole bunch of big things. But I think what I'm going to do here is just go for a short break and give you some time to think and hopefully post and hopefully think of some questions and maybe some answers. So I'm going to head off for a break. Thanks for tuning in to the Dr. Elisa Show on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully, we're changing your life experience and the way you listen to the world.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call, wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the man who rode you.
We can live in a world that we design. Cause every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be, a vision.
Join me, Katie Weaver, on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific for The Katie Weaver Show, where we're dreaming together about the world we want to make.
Hi there, Mo speaking.
Hey, man, is this Mo?
Hey, Paisley, good to hear from you.
Hey, man, this is your buddy Paisley.
What's up, man?
Well, this is not getting a real problem, man. I really need your help.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, it's this 1-2 Academy business, man. Sure. I'm in a dilemma.
Well, what's the dilemma?
There are two classes I want to take, but they're both being done at the exact same time.
Man, settle down.
No, it's a terrible thing, it's okay. Man. No, it's bad, man.
It's okay.
No, it's bad, man.
It's groovy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. Listen, Paige, okay. Every class at 1-2 Academy is recorded and sent out to the students usually the same night.
No way.
Yeah. So you can take as many classes as you want and get them all.
Far
yeah,
out,
it is far out. I'm guessing that one of those classes might be mine, huh?
No, I'm afraid not, man. I mean, why pay for the milk when your best friend is the cow?
What?
Toodles.
Hey, Paisley. Take as many classes as you'd like at 1-2 Academy at the same time. They're recorded. You'll have them forever.
Hey, Glitterati, it's Kelly McLean, 1-2 Listen advisor and host here on 1-2 Radio. So the Blanket Fort has been newly remodeled and expanded. My Tuesday noon show, formerly called Connecting the Dots, is now called Being Badass, where I hope to help you unlock your own inner badass. If that doesn't fulfill your daily requirement of laughter, then the first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m., please join us for a hilarious and explosive relationship advice show called Armed and Dating. Bring your sense of humor, bring your questions, bring your own glitter. Can't wait to see you there. Have a great one.
There are so many great ways to connect with our advisors at 1-2listen.com. Be sure to check out time-based sessions and email readings on every profile page. We work hard to make it easy for you to get the answers you need.
Hi, this is Mark. You know, we know how it is. You go through the motions of your life, sometimes feeling like you're the last person on earth because everyone else left, holding hands with big happy smiles. You know, that's why we created 1-2 Listen. We wanted to create a place where you could call anytime, day or night, and not feel so alone and get the support that actually made you feel better. And it's been hugely successful. Many of you say that you found a friend in your advisor at 1-2 Listen. And after 10 years of doing this, it occurred to us that if one advisor can make that kind of difference, imagine what two could do on the same call. And from that idea, I'm happy to introduce to you Duets. where two advisors answer your call. Now, duets is only possible when you have professionals that know each other. It's one of the trademarks of 12listen.com. We're not just a family of psychic advisors, we're a family of friends. Now, duets is an idea so new that we've put a lot of care into the planning. You'll purchase a time-based session that explains the two advisors that you'll meet, and after scheduling the call, you'll be greeted with the warmth and support you've come to expect. Sometimes, three is an army. So if your life demands that kind of support, think of us first and the many choices that are available here. We understand being alone, but loneliness, well, we can fix that. 12listen.com. We're here when you need us.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the man who rode you. Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the man who rode you.
We are so happy that you have found 12 Radio. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, just head over to 12radio.com, click on the chat button, and just like that, you'll be redirected into our Facebook chat room. It's magic!
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
Well, hello there. I hope you're still there. Welcome back. You're listening to the Dr. Elisa Show. That's with me, Elisa, here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you feel inspired and the way you listen to the world. Again, if you're new and you don't know, you can join us on a Facebook chat. And you do that by going to 12 Radio, clicking on chat on the left side, and magically being flown over through the ether system into the Facebook chat room. I'm also going to take calls, so you can call in and have a short chat with me if you want. You can also send me a private message if you don't like the public thing, and you can do that on the Message Center. So sign into your 12listen site and you can do that. Also, I've said this before and none of you have taken me up on it, so I'm not sure what to do about it, but I have a blog, elisarobin.com. I'm going to post the link in the Facebook site, and if you go there and follow me on that, and then let me know on the, send me a message via 12listen, I'll give you some free minutes. And if you don't want to follow mine, the one you really should follow, and absolutely just go make a comment on my, any of my writings on the Mark Husson blog, is go to markhusson.com. Most of your favorite advisors are up there writing. There's things on astrology and manifesting, and I write a great deal, and Mo writes. Just go there. Make a comment or like one of my articles on the Mark Husson blog, and then send me a message via 12listen. And the reason you need to do that is it's hard for me to send you minutes if you haven't connected with me. But it's just a way to get some free minutes and some time to talk with me. So where are we? We are talking about happiness, believe it or not, and talking about the things that often get in our way. Right? The need to be conspicuous or inconspicuous in what we produce, right? Get a badge of honor for working long hours. Get a badge of honor for going somewhere and saving people, doing more, being the top competitor in, being more, putting more weight on your weights at the gym, making sure you try the newest thing. All of that pressure. What's fascinating is that makes us do what everybody else is doing. That's what fascinates me about it. Not just the pressure, but the fact that that it's pressure to join a tribe or a club and be what everybody else is and do what everybody else is doing. And I have to tell you that one of the secrets to happiness that people have found, and these are researchers, the neuroscientists and people who interview people when they're sick and dying, right, is being different, is being themselves rather than doing what everybody else is doing. Interesting, don't you think? I do have to say something to some of the Facebook. I just have to do this because I noticed the Hawaii stuff. In 2 weeks, I am going to be doing this show from Hawaii, and my thought is actually to talk a little bit about Pele and the goddess, but I will be in 2 weeks in Hawaii, and no, not on the Big Island. But again, my first two degrees are in geology, and eruptions are just fascinating. I just have to say that. Back to happiness. Sorry for the digression. What I think of when I think of, and I work with people on what's holding us back, it is the gravitational pull of old wounds, old messages, limiting beliefs, the need for safety, security, which is real, okay? But the way we have learned that we have to have and have to build security and safety. Think of this as number of little thin pieces of fishing line that are tied to your fingers and toes, which should make you feel like a marionette. But instead of helping you defy gravity, they're tied to the ground. And every time you try to change, grow, experience, reach out, you feel tied. That's gravity. It's the gravitational pull of our past. Now, understand that I know that as parents, we do the best we can with what we have. I do understand that some people have horrific backgrounds and do great things, and some people have horrific backgrounds and have difficulty recovering. And I'm not blaming anyone or saying there are simple solutions for any of that. I am saying that acquiring more things does not lead to happiness. We all know that. And yet we still play that, right? I want to be more spiritual. That's great, as long as doesn't need to be conspicuous so that it's spiritual in a way where you feel like you get the badge of honor, so you've achieved something and you can make somebody else happy. So what do we do with those? How do we break away from those fishing lines? And again, I'm interested in what you think. I'm interested in your thoughts on the topic. So feel free to call in, but also feel free to send me a message through the 1-2 Listen or to put something in Facebook if this is resonating with you. How do we get caught? Let's talk about that for a minute. It's really, really funny, right? There's tons of stories about this, but people don't mind if they're not free, right? People don't mind if no one else is free. Plato's cave, right? If you're in the cave and you see the shadow and everybody else is only seeing the shadow, it's fine. Or take the story of the crabs pulling each other, not letting each other climb out of the pot, right? If everybody else is in the same situation, we don't mind so much. But when one person breaks free, one person, everybody else begins to panic. So when I go to work and I have put blue dye in my hair just because I feel like it, and yeah, I was a dean and now I'm a professor and I'm fine, there is pressure for people to say to me, so what do you think professional hair looks like? Now, I still have long, wild hair. I am never going to not have long, wild hair. It's just what I do. Here's my hair. And I love it. And I dress a little edgy, though not so edgy you couldn't call it professional, but edgy professional is kind of my favorite. And it scares people for no good reason. It just scares people. If asked to bring a creative idea on how to grow enrollments, and I do, and it's, whoa, it's like, you know, 3 years in the future, this is where we're going to be, it scares people. So as soon as you break free, you have to get that. So sometimes living your truth, living who you are, can be lonely. It can be lonely because you feel like you're on the outer edges of the tribe. And the reality is that we are creatures of community. Even the most solo person, even the person who's a hermit, they're part of a hermit community or whatever, but we are creatures of community. If we look at our evolution, we grew up as a prey creature, P-R-E-Y, prey, meaning the only way to stay safe and defend ourselves and the only way to actually be able to survive was to live in community. And that's how we evolved. So what really makes us happy is a tribe that works for us. So what happens is we're born into a tribe. One of my profs used to say that you're born into a family and you're handed a script and someone says filming starts in the morning and here's who you're going to be in our family. So the smart one, well, that's taken. And the creative one, yeah, that's taken. Your older sister, she's the artist. And the athletic one, that's taken. So, yeah, I don't know. What have we got left? How about if you're the bookworm? Or how about if you're the one that is just harder to get along with? Because we need one of those two, right? Or what if you're the class clown? Or what if... And we are given those roles. And then we're expected to live it. But it's not necessarily who we are, who we came here to be. So when we break free of those, we scare our tribe. We scare our family. So sometimes breaking free can be a little lonely at first. Yes, Greg, a hermit community. I'm sure they're out there. I am positive. Yes. So I have a caller, and I have to tell you, it is the first time I've had a caller on my radio show. And so I would love to take a caller now. Hello, who is this?
Hello.
Hi, just a first name,
hi,
maybe?
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. What would you like to talk about today in terms of what we're talking about?
Well, everything you're saying is resonating with me. I have a new job that's a long-distance job, mm-hmm. and I'm the kind of person that feel more comfortable interacting with people if I don't have to see them face to face.
Interesting.
I feel like I can maintain the vision of who I want to be better in that way, and I don't get pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm.
I've been invited by my employers who are in another state. I'm in Texas, and they're in a different state. I've been invited to a workshop, and I'm thinking of postponing I'd like to visit them this summer, but I'm thinking of postponing partly because I just feel overwhelmed with work. There's a lot going on and other events happening,
mm-hmm.
but also I feel like partly is because I'm a little bit afraid of being there in person. I feel it feels too soon.
Interesting. Okay.
But any advice surrounding this?
That is such a great example of what I'm talking about, right? Like I want to be who I am. And how do I do that in this setting if I'm not going to fit in? So I'm going to give you two different options because that's just sort of what I like to do. One is to go ahead and postpone it, right? But not do it because you're overloaded with work, because we're always overloaded with work, right? It just doesn't go away. And then we come back and we catch up. But to do it because it feels like not the right time in your life to do this, that it's about you, that you take ownership of why you don't want to go and that you feel fine with that. Like I just don't feel like going. So for example, let's say you're invited to go somewhere and the location seems overwhelming, or you have to take two plane flights and a bus to get there, and that feels overwhelming. If there's something that doesn't feel good for you, okay, that's fine. Don't go. On the other hand, if you can go and have this be an adventure and test the waters, because there's probably no danger. I don't have a sense of danger about this for you, but show up as who you are for, you know, in little bits, just in little bits, and see how you're received. It might be a lovely adventure for you. And so if you can go and have the adventure, and then make sure you keep yourself safe, your own hotel room, friends you can call, so that you can build it as a safe adventure, that might be a really nice way to do it. So instead of telling you what to do, I think either of those options. However, the trick is to do it because it's what feels right to you. Like, don't run away because you're afraid of it. Don't run away because it feels hard. Choose it because it feels like you're good, like it resonates with you. I tend to advise people to, listen to their gut always and their intuition. But sometimes it's just really good to try the adventure in a safe way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling in. And yes, Greg, first time caller makes perfect sense. So use it a whole new meeting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, okay. So what do we do? How do we flip this? How do we say, instead of asking, what do I want out of life? How do we say, what does life want out of me? So let me just play some things with you. Thank you again, Elizabeth, because that's one of them. How do I build safe adventures for myself? If I feel gravitational pull where my grandmother, for example, or my brother or my sister or somebody at school said to me, you're never going to fit in, and I want to go try something new with a new group of people, what if it's the gravitational pull of that old voice that's keeping me from trying? What's the worst can happen? I go and I'm not the most popular person in the room. I can guarantee you that when you go out into a big group like that, most people are more concerned about if they're being liked than thinking about you. It's kind of like if you go to the beach and you get self-conscious because you don't think you look good in whatever you're wearing. Trust me, everybody else is myopic. They're worried about how they look. Even Muscle Beach, trust me, they're much more worried about how they look and they're not even looking at you. So how do you build a safe adventure? And then get the difference. Oh, this is an old voice. This is a fish string. This is one of those karmic ties tying me to the ground so I can't defy gravity. Try new things. Just try new things. You don't have to like it. I took motorcycle riding lessons. I discovered that going faster than 35 miles an hour on that motorcycle did not make me happy at all, in the least. Now, in a world where everybody rode motorcycles and I was never worried about crashing into a car, I might have done that. It might have been fine. I've been places where I can see that riding a scooter, a big scooter, would be really fun. But I got to go take a lesson and then decide I didn't want a motorcycle. You have choice. You get to say no. But try the new thing. Don't do what everyone else is doing, right? So if you go and everybody else, sometimes you want to fit in, right? If it says business fancy, wear business fancy, right? But you don't have to wear, but you can wear black pearls instead of diamonds, right? And know that you're sort of strutting your inner pirate. Be willing to be uncomfortable. Get it, that sometimes you just have to live in a world of paradox, a world where things are not predictable, because the world isn't. It isn't predictable. Things happen. Remember that this is the rest of this year, Mark is calling the year of the retrograde. Major planets are retrograde. I have the wildest things happening to me. If you listened last week or 2 weeks ago, you heard about the squirrel falling on my head. Life is unpredictable. Get comfortable with that. Become comfortable with ambiguity. There aren't right answers. What ties you to the ground Everybody else thought they had right answers. Trust me, I grew up in a family where my grandmother always had the right answer, always, and it was never my answer. So you have to find your answer. And all of these spiritual adventures that we're taking, they're great ways to find it. And again, to untie. I've talked about gratitude. I think everybody does talk about gratitude. Be thankful for little things. Not only think that you can change the world via little things, but wow, be thankful for little things. So, for example, you may have a friend who, you know, sometimes we end up going to the doctor and we're going to get some kind of anesthesia for something, like the dentist, and we can't drive home. Well, there are people who maybe don't have anyone to drive them home. Driving a neighbor home or a friend home when they don't have someone else is life-changing for that person. It makes them feel loved. It lets them have the procedure. It lets them feel safe. It is a tikkun. You have repaired something in the world. No, you didn't fly to Africa and build school with your bare hands. But you changed the energy on the planet. So appreciate the small things and know that your small things are appreciated. And then, and Elizabeth, this is for you too. Listen to this. Be kind to yourself. So this is, again, these ways we are tied to old belief systems. And we'll talk about that more and more over the next few weeks and how do we get rid of those. How do we set ourselves free? How do we know that we can be tied where we want and untied where we feel like being free? Be kind to yourself. Don't expect to be the person who's the concert pianist and the straight A student and the competitive kayaker and learned everything in every spiritual course you ever took and the best whatever. You're already, again, Jewishly, right? The morning prayer, Elohai neshama shenatata bi tahorahi. God, the soul you have given me is pure. In that belief system, you come here as who you're supposed to be, with a tikkun, with a life calling, with something that life has called you to do. And how do you find it? By actively participating in the world, which sounds Buddhist, right? Actively, joyfully participate in the sorrows of the world. Do those little things without putting that pressure on yourself. So, how does that make you free? How does that help you then get to happiness, those things? We know, I mean, people know this. One of the life-changing books for me was Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, is that meaning and purpose, that humans can survive any why if they have a what, if you have a purpose. But instead of reading every book out there and taking every single test and knowing that you've got to find your right purpose or somehow you'll have failed, be kind to yourself and listen. Your purpose will come to you. And it will probably change based on who you're involved with, what you're doing, and where you are at that time. It will change and it will guide you. So believe it or not, we are at the top of the hour here. I hope today was interesting and meaningful for you. What I'd love to hear from you is if this is a topic that you want me to keep expanding on and expounding on, because I want this radio show to work for you. I'm having a grand old time, but I want it to work for you. I want you to listen to it and then say, my gosh, this was a great show. I want to tell your friends to listen. So give me some feedback, either on 1-2 or Facebook or wherever. I hope today helped inspire you to find your own renaissance of spirit, that you thought of one way that you too can defy the gravitational pull of an old wound or an old voice, because they were never about you anyway. Your soul is pure. I want to thank you for listening in and wish you a really, really wonderful day and a wonderful rest of the week. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Lisa Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the man who rode you.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to Your Inspired Life with Tamara Childs, except one more time, I'm not Tamara Childs, I'm Angela Hartfield, and I've been sitting in for Tamara for the last month. I can't believe it's gone so quickly. I've enjoyed so much being back here with you all on